they're speakers, authors, and real-life rock stars, bringing you life-changing thoughts that rock, taking conversation all the way to 11.
Most shows only go to 10.
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? These go to 11.
This is Thoughts That Rock. Now, here are your hosts, Jim Knight and Brant Menswear.
That's how we harmonize.
That's how we do it here.
I don't know if you guys are out there with hopes and dreams of being in a boy band, but this is how you do it. You don't survive as long as we have without learning to harmonize. So go back to school, stay in school, and learn how to harmonize, because that stuff, it doesn't just come naturally. We've worked at it for years.
And years.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on your favorite podcast in the world. Thoughts That Rock, where we share a couple pieces of advice. Hopefully it's life-changing, and if it's not, maybe it's not for you.
It might not be.
But you know what? It's for everybody, Jim.
It's really for us. That's really what I think about.
That's how I look at it.
You actually could have seen us harmonizing, not just listening to us, if you were actually on the YouTube, as the kids like to say.
Really?
Yeah, you ought to go and check us out on our YouTube channel. I mean, that thing is going gangbusters 5 weeks from now.
Yeah, and if it hasn't actually been developed yet, just ignore what we said right here and just fast forward in a time and a half, and we'll go right to this. Thoughts That Rock supports Cannonball Kids Cancer and their fight for finding treatment options for kids who've run out of options. So listen, just go support them. We do. We have done it for years. We will continue to do it. They're amazing. They help fund treatments for kids who've been told that there aren't treatments. They go out and find the innovation that needs to happen to save kids' lives. CannonballKidsCancer.org. Get involved.
Hey.
Hey what?
Hey fan.
Hey fan.
Yeah.
That's an accurate statement.
I'm talking to everybody individually.
Oh, I'm talking to you.
Hey you.
Yes.
I know how busy you are.
You're really busy.
You got a lot going on in your life, don't you?
Super.
Your life is like
a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get. Oh. It's going like 100 miles an hour.
It is. Scarrow.
And I bet you, I'm spitballing here.
Are you?
Grabbing a few nuggets, it's hard to come by.
That sounds wrong, but that's fine. At your own risk.
I say nuggets, I mean leadership nuggets.
Oh, okay.
Seriously?
Thanks for clarifying that.
You, fan?
Yes, fan.
Can I get eye contact again?
That's right.
It doesn't really matter what you're doing. Right now, you could be, running errands. Maybe you're chopping broccoli.
Chopping broccoli.
Maybe you're patching up a flat tire on Route 66. Hey, meow,
meow. Little help. Meow.
Does not really matter.
No.
Fan.
Yes.
I just want to be the 30 minutes you've been looking forward to all week.
Thanks, Mom.
Boom, boom. Our guest today is George McGarren, who is the founder of the McGarren Group, which is an executive talent acquisition company. First and foremost, George, welcome to Thoughts That Rock.
How are you guys doing? It's always great to catch up with both of you.
You bet.
Yeah, doing great. And listen, for people that are interested, George has a fantastic bio. We're going to have that whole thing in the show notes. That's that's the place where you can normally get all the details. But I just thought we would at least just point out a couple cool highlights. First off, his group is really an expert in executive headhunting. He does that throughout the United States and Latin America. And George's group specializes in deal structuring for client and candidate matches, also executive resume writing, professional coaching, and a little bit of strategic career road mapping. And I'm sure George can talk a little bit about that. But here's the cool thing, Brant. George is ranked on LinkedIn as the 30th most connected recruiter in the U.S.
He's a big deal.
He is a big
deal. He's a big deal who handles big deals.
I see what you did there.
Do you like that?
I do. Yes. I like that. Here's even better. He's the 125th most connected person on LinkedIn, and that's out of 300 million users. Yes. We're George, we're expecting a huge bump in our LinkedIn.
Yeah, listen, if we don't trend on LinkedIn, I'm calling shenanigans.
Yes, somebody is gonna get themselves raked over the coals. No, we're really thrilled that you're here, man, just to spend a little bit of time and share some wisdom with us, and we can't thank you enough. And if you know about our show, you realize we don't do the traditional long interview format, man. We're going to ask you basically one question, and so we're going to leave the floor open to you, and this is your time to shine. What is your thought that rocks?
Thoughts that rock, number one.
But my thought that rocks would be you have to lose to win. I think that's an important lesson for most to have in their back pocket.
You have to lose to win.
George, right. Were you watching my high school football career? Because we're still waiting.
You're still waiting for the win.
We're still waiting for the win. Yes.
Tell us more about that. Why do you say that? Why is that your thought?
And I would say this, but I think for any executive or entrepreneur, right, that's had any remote success, there's a pretty good chance they've also had possibly more failures than successes,
right?
Before that, I think the nice thing about the losses, right, so even if it's in high school football, right, which I think is a great lesson. I mean, as a kid, if you play sports, you learn how to lose. But I think as a business person, you get to if you're able to reinvent yourself again and do things properly the second or third or even fourth time around, right?
Yeah.
You say, okay, you know. And this happened to me personally. I built the business. I was literally unemployed and said, okay, I'm going to start a business, right? And I'm making it seem a little easier than it was, but started a business, grew to 50 people. And 2008, 2009, all of my clients were banks and financial institutions. And I went back to zero. But I was able to, when I went back to zero, I was able to learn and reinvent and do things differently, which have helped me, you know, through the COVID coronavirus crisis, right? So, I think you really, really need to, have a lot of, I mean, if you look at a baseball player, right, they bat 330,
right,
Hall of Fame,
right?
So they're, you know, it's an interesting, and by the way, I want to thank you for the bio part. There's a quote, so, you know, about me being the 125th most ranked, you know, 30th, you know, the stat, but there's a quote that will negate what you just said about me, and it says, statistics are like bikinis. What they reveal is suggestive, but what they conceal is vital. So you have to be careful when people give you all these quotes in the back,
because yes,
you know, I think it's an important lesson, just to, like, you need to be able to learn from your losses. And most successful people, at least, you know, listen, we've had a great run the last couple of years. Maybe there's another cycle where I'll lose again. I don't know that,
yeah.
Right? But you have to accept that as part of the game. And I think the ones that do well understand that these things, you know, the losses are what really make you a little sharper and a little hungrier, you know, because you really learn from those failures.
I think you said it best too. And you're talking about, every entrepreneur has gone through this. You know, I'm a huge fan, as we probably all are, of Shark Tank. And when you watch that thing, you know, not only all of the people up that are on the stage that are pitching something, but all the sharks have gone through. And I forget who said first the fail forward, fail magnificently. Like, if you're going to do it, go all in, but then you got to move past that. And I think that fits perfectly with your thought, because you never know if you're going to go, you know, you go through something like divorce. You know, it's horrible, right? But maybe your true love is on the other side. You get fired from a job, but that might propel you into being an entrepreneur. And even, you know, since you're mentioning the pandemic, you start to see that people are spending more time with their families. That could be good or bad. They're reconnecting with nature. Maybe people are getting back into exercise. I just, you know, one, I agree with you. I think it's awesome. I think it's tough for people to do. It's tough for people when they're going through the losses. But I do think you can absolutely come out of on the other side and look at it as something that is happening for you and use it to your advantage. You will get the win. Brant, your team will win eventually, is what I'm basically getting to.
Well, I mean, I can tell you this. I mean, there's I think all of us have had these experiences, right, in the last couple of months where we've changed, you know, even minor behaviors, right? I mean, I personally, I can tell you this, which I've done through this cool you know, I leave, I'm blessed that I'm able, you know, I've been able to, during even, you know, sort of March and April, and even May, I was able to go to the office but I would leave my cell phone at the office when I would leave. Right. And then I would, the next day I'd come back and the phone was there. Right. But it was kind of, you know, those are things that I would have never done.
Yeah.
If I didn't have, you know, an excuse to, because now, you know, it's like you go home, my kids are now you know, they play World Cup soccer in the backyard, you know, every night. Right. I mean, literally, and they're physically playing. They're not playing, you know,
right.
Yes. Games, but they're
on the Wii
playing. And I'd rather just hang out and watch them, you know, watch them than hang out, you know, be on a phone. And yeah. I think all of us have, you know, learned to do things a little differently. Yeah. My Starbucks, I love Starbucks, but I don't know, you know, my Starbucks coffee habit is gone. I now make coffee where I'm at, you know, wherever I'm at. But I think there's a lot of lessons you can learn from these things. And if you're smart, you know, you're conscious of this, right? I think the ones that do well are very self-aware of their time, their actions, and some of their habits and behaviors. And I think the ones that, you know, just sort of, if you haven't learned anything from the last 6 months, 12 months, then you've made a lot of, you know,
yeah.
Then that's a problem.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. I think it's been an interesting sort of, as we've been in lockdown here and depending on the state that you're in, and we are into, you know, month 2-3 here and, you know, stuck inside watching every possible television show or movie that you have wanted to watch in the last 6 years, in the last 2 months. But, you know, The Last Dance, I'm reminded of your quote here as sort of going through this, you know, documentary of, the Chicago Bulls, in 98, the last season, before the sort of dynasty was broken up. But, you know, this whole idea of watching early on in the early 90s when Michael first came into the league, and here Jordan is trying to do it all by himself. But it took them losing a lot to figure out where the gaps were to help support what they needed. And lo and behold, they figure that out and they turn around and win, you know, 6 championships. So, you know, I think that the loss, you know, it's interesting to me to see different sort of sports franchises when stuff like that happens. What do? Do you blow up the whole team and rebuild, or do you try to hold on to a few key pieces and supplement with new talent? And I think it's got to be the same world you live in, right? Dealing mostly with executives with very high paid, super high talented people of tremendous influence, George. Isn't it sort of the same with what you see and do, where you either you're bringing in somebody who's going to lead a new charge, and do they come in with their own team? Do they work with the current team? How much does that factor in to the wins or the losses, if you will, once somebody gets placed into one of these types of positions?
Right. That's a great question. A lot of times, so just, you know, step by step, a lot of times a new leader will walk into a new role. They usually take 6 months to assess something, right? Mm-hmm. And they just don't make a rapid decision. So they'll assess the team initially. The one thing, and I've been, you know, we work with people that make from, let's say, $300,000 a year to $4 or $5 million, mm-hmm. right? So it's an interesting, some of the mindsets are very similar. One of the things that I've noticed is that they all have a process mm-hmm. that they go through, right? And they, some call it a process, some call it a playbook, where they've done it literally over and over and over and over and over. And this is actually going back to the basketball analogy. I haven't seen the movie. I haven't seen the Netflix, series yet on him. I've heard it's terrific, with the Jordan, Netflix program. But, if you look at, I mean, his coach, right? Phil Jackson, he did this. So he leaves the Bulls, right? And
yep.
then he goes to the Lakers.
Yep.
And he does the same exact thing, right?
Yep.
If you think about it.
Yes.
And, he walked into the Lakers. I think they were terrible when he walked in, weren't they?
Yeah.
They weren't doing too well.
Correct.
And there's I'm using Phil Jackson as an example, but, you know, they have a process. They assess things. They have a process, and then they implement. And, you know, there's no question in my mind that, like, the Phil Jacksons of the world, I mean, they took their lessons from the bowl. You know, it's just, you see that over and over and over and over. So there are some common denominators between some of the, and you can take that and use that as an entrepreneur, right? You can
sure.
say, well, here's what so-and-so did, or But a lot of the things, and listen, both you guys are, you know, you have a lot of activity with the events, right?
Yep.
I mean, the first time or the second time or third time that you spoke in front of a crowd, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was disastrous, right? Like, I'm sure. Assuming it was.
For one of us, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Right. You know? And you learn. You know, you learn how to empower and lessen those mistakes. I mean,
yeah.
People always make mistakes. You make less than before, and you understand there's a process, and you understand to appreciate the process either positively or negatively,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, again, if you... You know, the interesting thing for me is looking at it, and when it comes to wins and losses, of course, I always go back to my sports metaphors because it's just easier to take a look at that. But you look at someone like a Tim Tebow, mm-hmm. right? And who pretty much spent the majority of his life winning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even right. In his amateur career, whether that was, you know, peewee football into mm-hmm. high school, into college, he gets into the pros and he still is winning. He still has the playoff win in Denver. Mm-hmm. He still has all of these accolades. He goes and switches sports and moves over to baseball. His first at bat, he hits a home run, right?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden he's hitting, you know, 211, 214. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy. And he has this, he's been for the last 2 years now in this position of losing, right? Yeah. He's in this position of losing. And it's really sort of interesting to watch what that does to you mm-hmm. when you're used to winning, right? And so if you come from a heritage, as Jim would say with regards to company culture, if you come from a heritage of winning and all of a sudden you experience a bunch of losses, it really says a lot about the potential future of the organization. It actually leads perfectly into our second thought. Mm-hmm. And the thought that we wanted to share with you, George, is this.
Thoughts that rock, number two.
It comes from John Green, the author of The Fault in Our Stars. And it says this, grief does not change you, it reveals you. And I thought that that would be just a perfect transition because when you lose, how you behave while you are losing says an awful lot about who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that. We've seen that with certain organizations who may have had a tremendous run and all of a sudden they run into some trouble. And how they behave during that time frame really determines the potential for them to pull out and find that success again. Mm-hmm. George, with placing people into these high-powered positions, do you often find that the people that you place, they take 6 months to a year to sort of assess and figure out what's happening? I'm reminded of Five Dysfunctions of a Team, right? Of Lencioni's leadership fable where the woman comes in and sort of spends a good amount of time sort of watching and observing before she makes any moves. And it's that same sort of a situation, I think, from what you're saying, George. But at the same time, when you place somebody in a position and there's all this change and uncertainty that's happening, how important it is for them to understand that everybody around them right now is concerned about the future of the organization. And what is your advice that you give to these people walking into these types of environments?
Right. And that's a terrific, terrific question. Most of the time, I mean, I think the executives that we're dealing with, they've done so much due diligence, right, before they even walk in the door. I mean, the level of preparedness that they have mm-hmm. is parallel to that of, right, to you go back to the sports
sure.
analogy, but, you know, some of these athletes, right, they're so prepared for some of the things that they walk into where they, and even, you know, it's a basic thing, right, like remembering, you know, the maybe it's a small team where it's got to manage 40 people and, you know, 40 people and they've got the 40 people have another 1,000 people below them. But it's even the basics of just remembering the names, right? Remembering
sure.
their teams, you know, just by having it in their, you know, just in their memory. The level of preparedness is really, really impressive. And that's something I've learned from dealing with folks, you know, at that level.
Yeah.
They just walk in really, really well prepared. I think one of the fun things about, you know, some of the leadership people that I've dealt with is that they understand that they're there they're there to serve customers and their customer sometimes is the actual person, you know, the client who's paying. Sometimes their customer is actually the employee, right? The employee that works underneath the organization. And I think at times like that, their sense of service increases much more than in other opportunities, right? And I think those are the two things I would say when they walk in the door, they focus on being prepared, understanding the situation, like you said, being able to make the right decisions. But they also focus on, you know, at a very basic level, everything is a people business, right?
Sure.
No matter what you sell, buy, if you buy a car or sell a car, you know, it's a people business. If you sell financial services or products, it's a people business. If you,
yeah.
you do podcast and you're, you know,
sure.
you're a professional coach, everything's people related.
Yeah.
And I think they get that really, really well. And they take, instead of worrying about the mat behind all of these problems, they treat it like a people problem. And I think that's one of the things that you can take away from leadership and people. And it's been an interesting. The third thing I want to say is there have been a lot of people that are just, you know, frantically worried.
Sure.
They as a group, I would say they're pretty calm and optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I won't say pretty optimistic. They are optimistic.
Yeah.
Right. Optimistic. And how things will play out 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So I'd say their level of enthusiasm is also extremely refreshing. I'm an optimistic person, but mm-hmm. they also seem to have that characteristic, which is great as a leader.
Yeah. Jim, now Jim, you've experienced this, right? Because I mean, Hard Rock for a minute was printing money.
Yeah.
I mean, they were printing money and then all of a sudden they hit a rough patch,
mm-hmm.
and it took a number of years for them to sort of find their way again and come back to now being one of the most successful casino conglomerates on the planet.
Yeah.
What was that like for you being there as an executive during that time?
You know, we call it the 7 years of the dark days. I mean, honestly, because for 25 years, we really were printing our own money. And
yep.
then when you have a bunch of competitors, but we also lost our way. And I think any Hard Rockers that would be listening know that that's exactly what happened in the mid-90s. But then when you start getting back to being your authentic self, and as a brand, we had to go back and do that and make sure that all of our food was made from scratch, the best ingredients, the greatest music that you could have. The stuff on the walls was authentic. The buildings were, oh my God, I got to go see it type buildings. And so when you start getting back to being passionate and authentic and making sure that you're, you know, just really focus on what got you to that point, I think it was one of the greatest turnarounds ever, because I think a lot of people probably would write us off. So it kind of was, you know, the Chicago Bulls all mm-hmm. over again. I think people had written it off as just being a very expensive themed restaurant. And of course, like you said, you talk about hotels, casinos, that's really where the money is today. But, you know, you go all the way back to the core, it's always because of people. And, you know, I think when you start talking about grief, and I know from your point, George, I mean, you deal with some teams, but also some individuals in the placement. For us now, as we go through this global grief, if you will, right? And I think Mark Cuban talks about, you know, he's pretty vocal, by the way, about governments and how stimulus is used or not used and how businesses can react. And he's basically saying how you as a company are going to treat your employees is going to define your brand perhaps for decades.
Sure.
And so I think to your point, Brandt, that you put on here, and I'd be interested in hearing George's, you know, points, grief isn't going to change you. If you are already a crappy company, you're probably going to be crappy anyway. If you are awesome, and although we're all going through this garbage right now, you can come at it on the other end even better in the way that you treat your employees. So, you know, I throw it back over to you, George. I just think, you know, I do think this is going to help improve capitalism as long as you put employees first. And I'm not just saying that because I'm pro team member. I just think it's the truth. I think now you don't have any customers as you start to come out of the pandemic, out of the crisis, but you certainly have these employees, and how you could be treating people and how you in your world onboard them, help them with their career pathing, whatever it is, you're going to stand out from the rest. Do you agree with that?
No, 100%. Back in March, when things, you know, started to really slow down, I think they just stopped the market, right? The stock market. The first thing we did in our team was we literally sent an email to everybody that's ever worked with us on the executive branding side or the recruiting side.
Yeah.
And the email pretty much said, hey, if there's anything we can do for you as a resource, please let us know. Or anybody in your family, please let us know. Right. And, that's how we reacted to that, because I just thought, okay, you're going to have a lot of people that are just worried.
Yeah.
And, most of the responses were, no, thank you for thinking of us. You know, we're fine, but we appreciate the outreach, right? That later turned into so many, and it wasn't really a business plan. It was more about it just, in, you know, sort of
sure.
just doing
a human response. Yeah. People that,
yeah. I mean, listen, I've had a great life because I've had some great clients who decided to invest their money in my company and besides in themselves, they also, and they invest their company money into our firm. So you have to always understand that.
Yeah.
So we sent an email and the byproduct was we got tons of referrals, right? Which turned into business and everything else, but that was not the intention of that exercise. I can tell you this, there's always two ways to look at things, right? You can either say, it's a negative, there's a negative view or a positive view. And this is a story. My uncle, in May, turned 76 years old, and I called him up and said, hey, you know, happy birthday, you're 76. And then I said, how's your day going? He responded back with, yeah, you know, I don't know, you know. It was kind of a very right response. And I said, and I literally responded, I said, listen, you're 76 today. Like, somebody didn't wake up today who has your same exact birthday.
Right, yeah.
Like, you should be, I mean, you could, you know, I turned 45 in April. I think it's a blessing, right? Like, you get another year to hang out. And there's always two ways to look at it, right? It's like, either I'm broke and I can start over. This is a great opportunity to start over. Or yeah. I'm broke and now I'm broke, right? So you have a choice. And it all starts with your mentally. The Hard Rock, by the way, what a difference. I mean, I used to live in Florida and I went there back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I was there last year, a year and a half ago in the Davie, right? The Fort Lauderdale, I always say Fort Lauderdale, but the Davie area near Hollywood. What a difference.
Yeah.
It was a different place.
Yeah.
You guys have done a wonderful job with that. So anyway,
giant guitar right in the sky now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. You know, I go back to sort of these organizations, and they're going to be remembered for how they treated their employees.
Totally.
You know, I read yesterday, Toronto Blue Jays are going to pay their entire staff through October 1st, as if they were going to, you know, whether they made the playoffs or not, you know,
yeah.
if the season would have continued. And that just, it says so much about the quality of the organization and sort of what they really care about. You see sort of the same things now with the Deltas of the world and what they're trying to do, knowing that the world looks different right now, all the yeah. hospitality, right? All the hotels, all the conference centers, everything looks a little bit different. And these organizations are sort of working through their plans of, you know, do we furlough? Do we lay off? Do we, how do we plan to move forward? We want to keep everybody if we can, but if we can't, what's the best sort of thing? And that's, again, this grief doesn't change you. It reveals you, and understanding that it's not just about the business. It's about the people. Like George just said, it comes down at the end of the day till it is about the people. And as Jim, as you have said many, 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 many times, the people are the culture. Every mm-hmm. time somebody new comes or somebody leaves, the culture changes. And I think these executives have to keep their finger on that pulse during times like this because of the amount of grief that's sort of happening because of the sort of state of the world that we're in right now. But every time somebody is furloughed or they get laid off, that culture takes a hit.
It does.
And how do they approach it to try to maintain everything they've worked. So, I mean, this is something that is out of their control. This is not something that they made some bad decisions and now they're paying the price. This is something that is completely third party out of their control.
Yeah.
And I think that, for those that talk the talk, if they don't walk the walk, gosh, this
they're,
is
they're going to be revealed.
It is. It's got to just be. It's got to be an awful scenario for them to really sort of see the underbelly of what they truly believe.
And this is why I love, you know, I love George, your thought, and I love this John Green thought that you picked, Brand, as well, because I think, you know, there's a combo of the two here. Grief for sure is necessary, right? Everybody is going to go through it when it comes to having to heal in some way, shape, or form. It's just, it's, I think people call it even the natural medicine. You have to go through that. And there's something cathartic about getting through that. Some people want to do it quickly. Some people need a lot more time, whatever it is, but you're going to have to go through that season. And it reminded me, I think, George, when you first, you know, we're sharing your quote, and I was thinking about somebody we've had on the show before, Damon West. You might not know him. He co-wrote a book with the author, John Gordon. It's called Be a Coffee Bean. And he basically had been sentenced to 65 years in like a Texas, it was Texas, right? Yep. Maximum prison.
Yep.
And for drug dealing. And it was, he had a great core. He just lost his way at some point, you know, but, and eventually he got released. He was only in there for about 7 years, but he stayed true to his values. And now he shares this message of how you can be like a coffee bean. It basically goes on to say, listen, you take heat and pressure and water and you can turn it into coffee and you do all these things. But he's now a successful speaker and a best-selling author because he stayed true to his values. And so I go back to your thought of you have to lose a lot to eventually win. But, you know, to this part that we're talking about, this John Green quote, grief doesn't change you. It didn't change him. It revealed who he actually was. He didn't go in as one person, came out something else. He was always like that. I mean, other than the drug dealing part, and he will tell you that, he will admit that, but he will say his core values were all right. The same. And so, you know, again, I just sort of throw it back to you as we're sort of wrapping up here, as you deal with individuals, whether they're now going to be working on, let's say, their resumes, because there are a lot of people that have lost their job. There are a lot of people that have been furloughed that probably aren't going to go back to their same job. As you help them, you know, with that professional coaching and their career mapping, what's probably the big challenge that you're going to have to deal with now? Because a lot of people are going to be seeking help.
Right. I think the biggest thing is adaptation, right? Like, I mean, the environment that we will be working in, even from a culture, like talk about culture before, from an office standpoint, I mean, you're going to have a lot of people that are now, you're going to have, you know, folks are going to be working from home or working remotely.
Yeah.
That won't be. So I think some of the people, you know, and we're dealing with this now, the adaptation of not only just, you know, where are you going to work, but also, you know, who will you work for, and how, right? But there are a lot of people that this could be an awesome time for somebody to pivot in their career and do their next best thing. I mean, I'm literally doing what I love because I was unemployed in an unemployment line in Miami. And I said to myself, like, never again will I do this. Never again will I fail because somebody else told me, hey, like, you know, you failed, right? So, and I was able to have a great career because of that, because of, quite frankly, the mistake turned into a business model, right?
Right, right.
And so I think people need to know how to pivot. They also need to, and there's opportunities where maybe their ego will get in the way where it doesn't pay as well. They can learn a lot of valuable skills. Sometimes you have to suck it up, right, in terms of the ego.
No kidding.
For your listeners, I think it'd be cool for them to check out. There's a guy named Inky Johnson. Have you followed his story?
What's his name?
A football player. Inky Johnson.
Inky Johnson.
A football player.
Inky Johnson.
Oh, I mean, if you're going to watch his video, there's a video that you know, I have on YouTube. If you don't cry, you're insensitive. I'm telling you right now, you might, this guy was a guy that was about to be called to the NFL, right? And something happened. He had an accident. And he lost his arm, right? And he woke up. His whole life, he had trained to be an NFL football player, and he's an incredible story. Inky Johnson. He played for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, if your listeners should look this guy up.
Okay.
He's a motivational speaker. That's I think he epitomizes. I mean, he literally, you know, what we're talking about today. And I don't know Inky Johnson at all, but that story is an exact, you know, it's exactly what we're talking about today.
That's awesome. He took
this terrible accident, which wasn't planned, and he turned into, to him, what he called later on a blessing, you know? And,
man.
Yeah, I mean, you should, So I think that's you know, there are people, and there's other people that decide not to do that. And I think if you're one of these people that they were talking about unemployment being 20-30%,
yeah,
there's still 70% of people that are going to work, right?
Sure.
So you can decide how you see things. Is it 10% it might rain today, or it'll be 90% sunny? You know, it depends on how you look at those viewpoints.
Yeah. Well, George, how can our followers and listeners, how can they stay in touch with you if they want to just sort of continue on and learn more from what you're experiencing right now?
Right. So I would normally say they could go to LinkedIn and just send me a LinkedIn message, but I'm literally maxed out with LinkedIn invites to 30,000.
You see how he's growing. I love it.
So I'm not rubbing it in there, but I mean, it's just, I can't do, right? So the easiest thing is just to look me up on Instagram. It's probably the easiest and quickest way.
Okay.
Just type in exec_headhunter.
Okay.
You can just send me sort of a direct message or just connect with me. We haven't really built that up yet. That's going to be built up pretty quickly in terms of following. But right now it's exec_headhunter.
Okay.
And you can just look, if you look me up online, right, George McGarren.
Yep.
Even if you spell the name like incorrectly, you'll still find me. So that's pretty much,
that's amazing.
The best. Yeah. So that's the best way to find me. But I think, by the way, I want to say thank you for your, the message and the value that you add, right. You give real advice to real problems. So I want to thank you for that as well.
No, it's our pleasure. I mean, again, I think a lot of people are doing some really good work, and we listen to a lot of podcasts, and everybody's a little bit different. I think what we want to do is maybe just focus on one really cool truth bomb from, from two different directions. But, I think the stuff that you're working on is invaluable. And certainly, depending on when people are listening to this, they're either coming out of this scary time and they've gone through a tough season, or they might be having something going on personally in their life. And again, I think, regardless of all the roles that we play, I think you spend the time talking about, hey, listen, everybody's going to go through some loss. It's how you deal with it and come out the other side. And I think everybody can learn from that. So, George, we can't thank you enough,
exactly,
man, for spending a little bit of time on Thoughts That Rock, man. We look forward to keeping an eye on your journey.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Sorry. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, we'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Rock on.
Rock on.
Thanks.
Hey, rock stars, thanks so much for tuning in. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode.
Yeah, and if you're interested in having Brant or me or both of us speak at your event, whether as a webinar for a virtual event or in person as a conference keynote, contact us directly at thoughtsthatrock.com.
Until next time,
rock on.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference, all that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.